Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13, we read from chapter 14, but our verse is from chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 9. Hosea chapter 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And our subject this morning is what we bring upon ourselves. What we bring upon ourselves. Well, we come this morning to consider these words before us in the Old Testament book of the prophet Hosea, which is a book I have never actually preached from, and certainly not in our evangelistic morning service. And yet, as we will see for ourselves this morning, there are many beautiful verses in this book, and particularly in chapters 13 and 14, but not exclusively, so many places in this book we see verses and words that speak of gospel blessing, New Testament blessing, and words that clearly point to Christ. They point ahead to his coming and to his work and to his salvation. And in fact, the prophet Hosea is quoted by the New Testament writers more often than any other minor prophet. Hosea is one of the minor prophets, as I mentioned earlier. There are 12 minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament, and Hosea is the most quoted in the New Testament. And this is a significant feature of this book because it has so many gospel blessings, so many prophecies of Christ. And Hosea himself, of course, just to put this in some context, he lived 700 years, roughly speaking, before the time of Christ. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. You will know, of course, many of you, that the 12 tribes of Israel did not remain one nation or one kingdom. They split into two after the reigns of King David and King Solomon. And so you had the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. But Hosea, he was a prophet to the northern kingdom, of Israel. And sadly, well, with so many of the prophets, the prophet Hosea has to deliver a harsh and a sobering and a solemn message to Israel. And we see that, don't we, in this first part of verse 9 in chapter 13. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. That is the message from the prophet Hosea to Israel. Thou hast destroyed thyself. Well, the kingdom of Israel was about to experience a very severe trial. A great calamity was about to come upon them. The people would be overcome. They would be overrun by the mighty army of Assyria, by the Assyrian Empire, and the people of the northern kingdom would be carried into captivity. And so the northern kingdom would come to an end. And this, of course, took place historically in 722 BC. And so the people would no doubt ask, and did ask, why is this happening? Why is God doing this to us? Is God being unkind to us? Is he being unkind to his own people, to Israel? And the answer of the prophet is no. God is not being unkind to you. Israel, you have destroyed yourself. That is what the prophet is declaring to them. And why is that? Well, Israel had strayed from God. They had been neglecting the true and living God. They had been worshiping other gods. We read this in the book of Hosea and elsewhere. They were worshiping the other gods from the other nations, especially a god called Baal. Baal worship was rife, and the nation was full of immorality, corruption, falsehood, theft, adultery, all the things that God hated. Well, they were doing these things, and now the end has come. The end has come for the kingdom, and it is because they have brought these things upon themselves. This is what Hosea is saying to them. Don't start thinking God is unjust. Don't start thinking God is to blame for all of this. Israel, the responsibility lies with you. Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. So that is very simply the context, quite easy to understand. And well, the message of Hosea to Israel is the same message that we declare today to the whole world, this unbelieving world around us. It's the same message because, of course, we live in a world, don't we, where there is so much crisis and calamity and confusion, so much uncertainty in the world, so much distress, so much fear. When we observe the world around us and we see almost on a daily basis terrible things happening, terrible things around the world, conflicts and war and rumor of war and atrocities almost on a daily basis. And people, what do people do when they see all these things? They will very often blame God for this, won't they? The unbeliever. They see the state of the world and they will say, well, why is God doing this? They will blame God. Why is God allowing this? This is God's fault. Or sometimes people will say, of course, they will tell you, this is why I don't believe in God. This is why I don't believe in God. When I see all the terrible things that are happening in the world, well, this just justifies my unbelief. This is why I don't believe, because if there is a God, they will say, why do all these things happen? And the answer, of course, which we should respond when we are ever posed with this question, the answer is, well, there is a God, of course. There's no if about it. There most certainly is a God. But why do all these things happen? Dear friends, it's the same as Hosea says. You have brought these things upon yourself. You have destroyed yourself. Just like the Israelites of old, they forgot the true and living God, didn't they? They abandoned God to follow other gods. This is what we have done in this nation, in this society, you could say Western society, so not just this nation, but really everywhere in the world. Well, it forgets the true and living God, the God of the Bible. And this nation particularly has forgotten the God of the Bible that has blessed this nation so greatly. Well, Israel had been so blessed, hadn't it? God had delivered Israel and blessed Israel, and they forgot God. It's the same really with this nation. In this nation, you look at the history of this nation, the God of the Bible has blessed this land so greatly and been so influenced in the culture of this nation, in the history, the society, the schools, the hospitals, the charities. They all started with the God of the Bible, with the Word of God. But what has this nation done? Well, it's abandoned the God of the Bible. It's pushed God out of every sphere of life, education, media. People don't have time for the God of the Bible. They have time for everything else. They worship everything else. Of course they do. And I'm not just talking about the other religions. This society has made other gods for itself. Some people, they just live just for material things. Consumers in a consumerist society. They just live just to acquire things, to acquire money perhaps, to get as rich as possible. This is what they live for. This is what they worship. They live for money. This is their God, to acquire possessions, to acquire land, to have status. They live for this world. It's really this world is their God. I'm living for this world. This is what I worship. I'm just living for the here and now. That is what they do. Dear friends, if you do that, you're setting up another God. You're worshiping another God. You've abandoned the true God. Of course, you don't have any time for the true God, and you're living just for the things of this world. And you bring these things upon yourself. We live in a world, of course, where ideas are worshipped and philosophies are worshipped. Of course, anything that is taught in the Word of God, the teaching of the Bible, the doctrine of the Bible, people don't want to hear that at all. But they will hear everything else. Any other philosophy, any other idea. People are living nowadays according to ideologies. That's what they apply to their lives. They don't apply the word of God. Give me an ideology. Something perhaps that I've learnt at university. Some atheistic kind of ideology. I'll apply that to my life. I'll live according to those principles. I won't live according to the Bible. No, of course not. I'll choose another God. I will live according to a different philosophy, a different ideology. That is your God. Political ideologies. Well, that's very prevalent in our society. People want to live according to politics. They think politics is the savior. Apply ideology to this land and nation and everything will be good, either on the left or on the right. They're all doing it. And of course, while I say this, just by the by, I say this very often, is the Bible right wing or is the Bible left wing? And what do I say to that? You know it, some of you. I say it's neither. It's neither left wing nor right wing. What is the word of God? It is truth. It's not political. You see, the left wing and the right wing, they will always slightly change the truth to fit their political bias, to fit their narrative. That's the nature of politics. But this word is truth. So it's not about being on the left side or on the right side. Are you on the Lord's side? It's the truth that we believe as Christians. It's the truth that sets us free. But dear friends, people have chosen other gods. They're worshipping other ideas, other ideologies. And this is why this land and nation is in such chaos. We have brought these things upon ourselves. And then, of course, atheism. There are many things I could say on this point, but let me mention this atheism, just in case there are any atheists here present with us or listening to this message. Atheism is a terribly destructive ideology. And it's a religion, of course. Don't let an atheist tell you that they do not follow a religion. Atheism is their religion. It shapes their whole lives. It shapes everything they do. Atheism is their God. But it's so destructive. This is my point. You destroy yourself if you are an atheist. What does atheism believe? Atheism, well, let me put it to you in this way. Atheism takes away a man's self-worth. Humanity's self-worth is degraded and done away with almost entirely by atheism. Because atheism says, well, there is nothing special about us. The Bible teaches us there is something very special about man. We have been created by God. We are made in the image of God. To know him, to reflect him. Atheism destroys all that. No, we have not been made in the image of God. We have not been created. We are actually just a biological accident. At best, we are evolved from animals. You're no different to an animal. So this precious view of man, this high view of man, is totally destroyed. It's destructive. Atheism. We have destroyed ourselves. Atheism destroys any sense of meaning in the world, any sense of meaning of life. The scriptures give us a meaning, purpose. There is a God. We must know him. God has created us for a meaning, for a purpose. What does atheism say? There is no meaning. There is no God. We've all come about just by accident. So there is no meaning. There's no great purpose to your life at all. So it destroys all the purpose and the meaning of life. And dear friends, again, this is why society is in such a terrible state. You will know, some of you, that suicide, sadly, and I don't say this lightly, suicide is the leading cause of death in this nation. Suicide amongst young people, above all. Why is that? Well, because all meaning has been taken away from life. In this atheistic society, this society is destroying itself, dear friends. And this is the meaning, and this is what Hosea said so many years ago, but it is still true. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. How is it with you, dear friends? Let's try and apply it to individuals. Sin, if you live in sin, and there was much sin and immorality, as I mentioned, in Israel, The longer you go without God in your life, the more immoral you will become. The more you will be taken over by your sins, whether it be lust, whether it be covetousness, whether it be lying, whatever your sin is, it will get worse and worse in your life, dear friends. And this is a terrible state to be in. Immorality will take over and it destroys you. Sin destroys you. Now, I could speak about this at great length, but sin, let me say this very quickly. Sin, just as it destroys a nation, sin, well, it destroys reputations. You know, you hear of people sometimes how their reputations are destroyed. Big men, businessmen, and their reputations are destroyed. Why? Because of some sin they committed. Maybe some act of adultery or some act of theft or something they did. Sin destroys reputations. Sin destroys relationships. We know that we live in a world that has cast off God and we can just do whatever we want and be unfaithful and adultery and so on. Sin destroys relationships. How many broken relationships are there in the world? We destroy ourselves with sins. Sin can destroy all your talents. This is what I say sometimes to the young people. We have many young people with us. You know that sin destroys your talents. You see this even sometimes in the media. You hear of very talented young people, artists or sports people or even film stars, actors. And then what happens to them? Well, they can't control their drinking or they can't control their drug taking. And all their talent is destroyed. It's gone. They're on the scrap heap. Sin destroys everything. Dear friends, I know I'm laboring the point, but I just want to help you understand that these words of Hosea are very relevant for today. Sin destroys you, it will destroy you, and above all, of course, and I'll be brief with this because I say it again very often, sin wars against your soul. The most vital part of you is the soul. Every time you sin, well, it's like a hammer blow against your own soul. So it destroys you. It destroys you physically, it destroys you emotionally, it destroys you spiritually. It wars against your soul. But let us think about the remedy, because the remedy is presented here. The gospel is not just you have destroyed yourself, but in me is thine help, we read in verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. The Lord has come to save you. He has not come to destroy you. If you are without God, you are destroying yourself by your unbelief. The Lord has come to help you. The Lord has come to save you. Don't ever think I won't become a Christian because my life will be destroyed. You're already destroying your life. Christ has come to save you. He is your help to reverse the destruction in your life. Maybe you've already made shipwreck of your life. Maybe your life is already half destroyed. Christ can reverse that. He's your helper. He's your savior. This is what these words mean. And God is calling to Israel, turn to me, repent. And verse 10, I will be thy king. That's what it is to repent. What does repentance mean? Well, there are many things we could say. Repentance means you have to make the Lord the king of your life. No other gods to rule over you, nothing in the world, no other person, no other man, no other woman, not even yourself. Are you the king of your life? This is the case for many people. They say, I'm the one who decides. It's not God. I'm the one who decides who I am, what I do, what I like, what I engage in. I'm the king of my life, my ambition. Dear friends, to repent is to say the Lord is my king. What he wants from me, not what I want from my life. I will just destroy myself if I do what I want. It's what God wants. He will save me. He will lead me to the right place. He will heal me. He will heal me of all the years I have wasted, all the destruction of my life. I will turn to him. He will lead me from darkness to light. He will lead me to true life, life in all its fullness. Dear friends, this is what we know when we come to the Lord. I have to turn you just to verse 14, because let's try and bring the gospel in here. In verse 14, there are some tremendous words. I will ransom them. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Well, now here's a wonderful promise from God. He is saying, I will save you from death, from the death and destruction that you find yourself in because of your sin. I will save you. I will redeem you. This is talking about a price that will be paid. A ransom is a price. Redemption is speaking about a price that will be paid to save his people from death. Well, what does that sound like to you? This is a New Testament gospel truth, is it not? This is fulfilled in Christ. This Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled in Christ. He is the one who redeems us from death. Dear friends, what do you need help most in your life? Where is it that you need the most help? Well, we must all meet death one day. We cannot avoid death. That is a terrible but a true fact of life. We must all die. And dear friends, who can help you when you come to the time of your death? Nobody. Nobody can help you, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much education you have. There is nothing that can save you from death. And by the way, why is death in the world? Why do people die? Again, people will blame God. Why is death in the world? Well, we know why death is in the world. And again, it fits in with what we're thinking. We have brought this upon ourselves. Adam, the first man in the Garden of Eden, he was made good, wasn't he? He wasn't created to die. He was created to live. But it was because of his sin. It was because he chose to disobey God. He brought sin upon himself. He destroyed himself. So even from the very start, these words are true. Man, it could apply to the whole of mankind, to Adam. Thou hast destroyed thyself. That's why death is in the world. It's because of us. It's not because God is being unkind to us. Man has brought it upon himself, but God has given us the way out. Man brings death upon himself. God shows us the way out. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we trust in him, we know that way of salvation. Christ has died in our place, that we may not die, that we may live forever, that we may be accepted by God, that we may know all the forgiveness of our sins. We have sinned, dear friends, but Christ died on the cross. He has taken the punishment for our sins in our place, that we may be forgiven. Dear friends, you must know the Lord as Savior. This was the message of Hosea. Yes, he's speaking in Old Testament times, but so many of these words can be applied to us in the New Testament age. Do you know the Lord? If you look at Hosea chapter 14, let us just look at the first words of this chapter. This teaches us, if you don't know how to come to the Lord, or if you haven't come to the Lord, this teaches us how to come. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You are sinners. Come to the Lord. It's your only hope. Take with you words, verse 2, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. So this is how you come to the Lord. If you don't know him, go to the Lord. Take with you words. Dear friends, when you go to the Lord, don't take with you your good works. Don't say to God, I'm a good person, I've done good things, let me go into heaven, please. You don't take your good works. Take with you words, words of repentance. Say to the Lord, take away all iniquity. Say, I am a sinner, not I'm a good person. Say, I'm a sinner. And I need Christ, only Christ. He is my hope. He has taken the punishment for my sin. Nobody else can save me. Nobody else can save me from death and hell. Bring your words, your humble words of repentance. The calves of your lips, that's what Hosea says. Why is that there? Well, because instead of bringing offerings, they used to bring calves as offerings. Don't bring an offering just with your heart and your lips. Come and bring words of repentance. And then look at verse 4. These are wonderful words of gospel blessing. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. We are saved by grace. For mine anger is turned away from him. Well, that speaks of Christ, of course. Again, I say it. We deserve to be punished for our sin, but God's anger is turned away from us. And it was placed on Christ. He took the punishment. Dear friends, what a savior. We deserve to be punished, to face the anger of God, but God has turned that anger away onto his only begotten Son, and he has borne away all our sin. Dear friends, we're almost completely out of time, but I just make that exhortation. Is this you, dear friends? Do any of these words speak of you? Have you made a shipwreck of your life because you don't want to obey God? And so many things in your life have been destroyed because you don't want to obey God. Dear friends, there's a way back. The Lord is calling out to you just as he did to Israel. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God and confess your sins. That is what he is saying. Dear friends, you have to humble yourself. You know, the Lord said, didn't he? I am your help. In order to receive help, you have to humble yourself. Sometimes people never want help because they're too proud. A proud person will say, no, I don't need your help. I can do things all by myself. Dear friends, if you are like that with God, you are eternally lost. If you don't want to humble yourself, if you're a proud person saying, I don't need God like all these other people, your pride will destroy you. You are destroying yourself by your pride. You have to humble yourself and come to the Lord and say these words. Take with you words of repentance. Say, Lord, forgive me for all my rejection, how many times I've rejected you. Forgive me all my sin. And he will heal your backsliding and he will love you freely. The promise is the same to each and every one of us. May these words be a blessing. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. May the Lord bless these words to us.